It's an exciting morning, historic morning with Art Williams. I hear that we've already maxed out our conference call line. Art, that would be 5,000 people already got on early so they could plug into this thing. And, folks, we're going to talk about let Art talk about the business and what was going through his mind and in the beginning. And the folks, you just got to know, this laid the foundation for us to have sustained success unlike any other company out there. We're in a situation where 12% of the Fortune 500 companies from the 60s are still in the Fortune 500. I mean, there's massive turnover. Only one out of 11 people who ever make get into the 1% in income stay in it 10 years. Those are figures from CNN Financial, and professors have done studies. It's a fact. But here we have a company that not only has grown for 40 years, it flourished for 40 years. The people inside it have been taken care of and been able. I mean, we've got hundreds and hundreds of people who've been in one percenters for the last 30, 40 years, and more coming up there because the foundation was solid. And that came from the mouth of Art Williams. The products have changed, the companies have changed, but the principles and the concepts never change. So, Art, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Larry. And one of the things you said, Larry, yesterday that hit me, made me happy, was you said the company was really on fire. And I don't want to say anything that's going to cause the company to lose momentum or doubt, anything you're doing. I like Primerica today better than at any time since 1990. I wrote Glenn a message to that effect a few months ago. But I like A.L. Williams better. And so I'm going to probably say some things today that's going to burn some of your butt. And, so what? This is a locker room, and when I was in my locker rooms, my coach said a lot of things that burned my butt, And you caught me at a real bad time because some of the Florida people down here asked me to do a meeting. Hadn't been done one down here in a long time, and so I agreed. And Wednesday, I'm going to Fort Lauderdale and do a meeting for the Florida RVPs and the Florida regional leaders. And so I got a lot of my old-time crap out, and so y'all going to have to listen to a lot of it today. The first thing I'd like to answer is how could this little old A.O. Williams of 85 people in one city beat the largest industry in the world, 225,000 people, every city, every state, on the regulators, on the politicians? How is that possible? I think the first thing that I'd like for you to get in your mind is that I love this Winston Churchill quotes. I always like quotes from people that have a lot of wisdom or have done a lot of great things that inspire me. And this is my favorite all-time quote. There comes a special moment in everyone's life, a moment for which that person was born. That special opportunity, when he seizes it, will fulfill his mission, a mission for which he is uniquely qualified. In that moment, he finds greatness. It is his finest hour. I've thought about that 10 million times, and that's the way we felt when we came together in 1977. I mean, all of you have heard the stories that for the first couple of years or so, every recruiting interview I did, every meeting I did, I'd say the odds are about like this. I'd hold my fingers up, about a quarter of an inch of us surviving, just surviving. I'm not talking about beating Prudential, and becoming wealthy and producing a lot of financially independent people. I'm talking about just surviving. But in my heart, I feel like this is our moment. I feel like we're going to do something incredible. We're going to do something great. So does the A.O. Williams system work? I love what you said, Larry, about the fundamentals. Things change over periods of time. I mean, back when we started A.O. Williams, we didn't have any computers. You know, I last week I deal with allergies, I think that's what in the crap I got. So I go to the allergy doctor, and he does a scratch test and on my back, you know, and he comes back and he says, "Art, sorry to tell you, you ain't got no allergies." I said, "Well, why is my nose running? My eyes are red. I'm sneezing all the time, you know." And he said, "Well, if you want to be absolutely sure, go up and get a blood test." So he gives me a little thing, and I go up to the ninth floor and get a blood test. I hate giving blood tests more than I can tell you, but now they got these little butterfly needles, you know, where it doesn't hurt that bad. Well, this darn lady that gave me this blood test came out with me this big old needle, and she popped it in my arm, and it hurt like crap. Well, 30, 40 years ago, they had those big old needles when they gave you a blood test. And when you sold a $100,000 policy, which we did almost 100% of the time or more, you had to get a blood test. Even in the early days, they had to make a doctor's appointment and go to the doctor to get a blood test. And then we came up where we could pay these people to go to their houses and give them blood tests. And so, you know, we've gone from a generation of, you know, it taking 2 or 3 months to get policies issued and, you know, all that kind of crap, to where today you're in a computer age. And they got millenniums. You know, I own a little inn and spa up in North Carolina, and the guy up there is always talking about millenniums, too. And I don't know what the living dog crap is about this millennium thing. I mean, what's a millennium? That just blows me away. A person's a person. And so one thing I can flat tell you, that I don't care what era it is, whether it's Primerica today, 40 years later, A.O. Williams back there where you had to give a darn blood test every time you got a life insurance policy, it's still a one-on-one business. So does the A.O. Williams fundamentals still work? I don't know. It's pretty impressive. You know, I've written a few books, and I've tried to explain, you know, how A.O. Williams did it, and I was never able to capture the magnitude of this darn thing. I mean, what we did was so impressive, but it was so controversial. You know, A.O. Williams never really got the credibility because we were out there trying to correct an injustice, and we were fighting the regulators and the politicians and the industry. And so, you know, we got all this bad press over the years. So A.O. Williams never really got credit for what it did. But then I came up with this little, and I don't know how many of y'all have seen it, but this little simple thing where you lay out a map of the United States and you show one dot there where we started in Atlanta, Georgia, and then you look at the industry, the largest industry in the world, you know, over 2,000 companies, own the regulators, own the politicians, and you look at their little dots, and they're everywhere. They're in every town, every city, every state, and here we're this one little old gnat. You know, 85 people in Atlanta, Georgia. But 12 years later, we got this other map of the United States. We got all these dots all over everywhere, just like the life insurance agents did, you know. And those 85 people had grown, and we had spread this thing out all over the United States to every city, every village, every state. And we had literally changed the industry. Our mission was to destroy trash value. I'll talk to you about that in just a minute. And when we started, 90% of all life insurance sold was trash value and only 10% term. And when we got through with those jokers, you know, we had destroyed 90% of all the trash value and left 10% term. So maybe the only good, I mean, 10% trash value and 90% term. So maybe the only good news coming out of this conversation with me today for you Primerica people is we left 10% of that crap out there for y'all to get out there and replace, you know. Let me take through. Last night after I talked to you, Larry, I sat down and I wrote some steps that I thought we went through. And I came up with 9 steps. And so let me try to give you what I think we were thinking in 1977 when we built A.O. Williams. You know, number one, we were all, those 85 people were all a bunch of coaches or people that had played on teams, and they understood coach talk. And so when I looked at that one little old dot in Atlanta, Georgia, and wanting to beat Prudential and destroy trash value and all that kind of stuff, how in the world were we going to fight 250,000 people in every state? And I said, well, the only way we can do it is building teams. And that was not an uncommon thing for all of us coaches, because we grew up building teams. You know, that was our profession, building teams or playing on teams. And so my definition of a team is you got to have a team, you got to have a common goal that everybody buys into. You got to have a common goal, one thing that everybody buys into. Well, all those 85 people, all those 85 families had been screwed with trash value life insurance, or they had a family member that had been screwed, or they had friends that had been screwed. And I didn't talk to one person, I don't think, in my 12 years at A.O. Williams that didn't have a cash value life insurance policy. Everybody out there was getting screwed like you can't believe. So we had a common goal. That's the first thing, to have a team. There's got to be a oneness. And our oneness was, our common goal was to kill trash value. The second thing, once you have a team, you got to have a system. You know, in football, there are all kind of systems out there. There's the wishbone, there's the wing tee, there's the pro set, there's all this kind of crap, you know. But if you're going to win, the coach has got to have one system that he knows inside out, backwards and forwards, and we came up with one system. And the A.O. Williams system was a warm market company. We were a warm market company. Our system was simple. We recruit 90% of our recruits should be 4- and 5-pointers. The recruit sets up an appointment. In A.O. Williams, we never we created a system where you never had to cold call. You never called a stranger on a cold telephone. I never did that, ever, ever, never, ever did I go in a stranger's home. Did I call? Did I knock on strangers' doors? Did I hand out flyers and leaflets and all that kind of crap? Our A.O. Williams system was simple. We recruit 90% 4- and 5-pointers. We don't just drag everybody off of the darn street. We recruit people to make our team better. So you recruit people to make your team better. And so if you want to recruit people that have, basically, they either have a family, they're married or divorced, they've got children, they own a home, they've been in a place for a while, you know, they're probably 25 to 27 years old to 55 or 60 years old. Most people are going to recruit people or know people that are similar to them. And so I've never sold anybody a life insurance policy that didn't need it. So if you got some kid out of high school or just getting out of college that's single, they don't need life insurance. So for me to try to go in there and drag them in to a meeting and sell them a policy, to me, that's screwing people. So anyway, our system was simple. You recruit a 4- and 5-pointer. The recruit sets up appointments. Do you know, for people like me, my biggest fear, and I was coach of the year a couple times in Georgia, and I had a lot of friends, and I sold for 2.5 years. And let me tell you about this. It's interesting. Talk about the opportunity. It's so phenomenal. That little $100 fee that you pay to get a license, that is so different than all these other part-time crap people can do in the country today. I mean, that is better than being a life insurance agent. When you get a license with us, it's better than being a banker. It's better than being a stockbroker. In my 75 years, I found out that almost everybody in financial services is out to screw you. The insurance industry, they were selling a policy. Prudential's average size policy was $4,500. And they sell a savings program that you lose if you die. Banks give you a credit card where they charge you 17 to 27%. And yet, if you go down and get a CD, they pay you 1%. Stockbrokers don't do nothing but churn your account, give you bad advice, all this kind of crap. There's so much need. It's unbelievable. That $100, when you get that insurance license, securities license, helps you to go into an American family or a Canadian and a Puerto Rican and just do things for them that are absolutely mind-boggling. But that it just I never wanted to be anything but a coach. But all of a sudden, this thing hit me just like lightning. I went in full time. Now listen to this. This was back in 1967. Back then, these people were basically ITT was basically an investment company. They only had full timers. You know, a couple things that A.O. Williams did that separated us and gave us a chance to do what we did, change an industry, is we believed in giving people a chance to come part-time. And to a real creditable, unbelievable, you got to have a license. You can do things for people. You go in there and you replace a $10,000 policy with a $100,000 policy. You get these people. I talked to a darn accountant a few months ago that has, I was asking her about her investment program, and she said, well, we got a college education fund set at a bank. Now, here's an accountant that's supposed to know something. And I said, well, you should never, that's stupid. I gave her a common sense book. I said, you know, you should never put a nickel into some kind of college education fund or Christmas fund or some crap like that unless you fill up your IRA or your 401k. That's the difference in investing in a bank, having $30,000 at age 65, and $2.3 million if you invest in an IRA, in a good mutual fund that's managed by professionals. The job we do for people is absolutely unbelievable. It ain't all this like this multi-level marketing crap going around. For $100, you get these licenses, and you deal in hundreds of thousands of dollars of things. You can go in a home and save people money in so many different ways. Well, anyway, I did that for two and a half years, part-time. I never made a sale on the first interview. It was always three interviews. I never cold called. I never had opportunity meetings and all stuff like that. But I made over – and never made a sale during football season, by the way. So during those 2.5 years for 6 months, I never made a sale. But the other time, I made enough sales where I saved everything I made, put in my mutual fund, over $42,000. $42,000. So I get my grandson, because I still don't have a computer, and I say, look, figure out what inflation is. If $42,000 in 1967, what would that be worth today because of inflation? So he gets on his computer and comes back and said, Dad, Papa, that $42,000 would be $278,782. Now, ain't that something? Ain't that dadgum something? I worked 2.5 years part-time, helping people, not selling them a bunch of crap, but helping people change their whole financial life. And I make equivalent today $278,782 part-time. And I ain't that's where that was A.L. Williams. That's that the magnitude of what we could do for people was unbelievable. And so we recruit 4 and 5 pointers. A recruit sets up an appointment. See, one of my biggest fears, the biggest fear of anybody out there, is who am I going to see? You know, who am I going to see? Who am I going to talk to? I don't want to be a life insurance agent. A life insurance agent is nothing but a bunch of scum, dog, sucking, low life pile of crap in everybody's mind out there. Everybody in the country back in 1977 and today think the only people that sell life insurance are scum buckets. And they're basically right. Well, the good people in the community are not going to do that. Well, all of our people have been screwed by trash value. They go get an insurance license and eventually a securities license, and they can go replace a $10,000 policy with a $100,000 policy for the same thing. Now, everybody, people like me, an old coach, football coach, I could see myself doing that. Really, it was unbelievable. But the recruit sets up an appointment. When you come to work with A.O. Williams, you don't even have to set up an appointment. My biggest fear is, who am I going to talk to? You have somebody set up an appointment for you. You have somebody go with you to give you the credibility. They're going with you to their best friend. You never sell on the first interview. The first thing I tell them is, get your hands off your pocketbook. This is no pressure. You know, I don't want you to make a decision. I just want you to show you what saved me, all this money, did all these, blah, blah, blah. You tell him about A.O. Williams. You tell him about the crusade. You tell him about the screwing of trash value life insurance and IRAs and all this kind of stuff. And a whole new world opens up to them like it did to me. You do that on the first interview. Then you pick up all the information. And then you take it back and review it. And you go back with the, you recruit your training to the best friend's house, and you show him what you can do for him, how much you can save him, all that kind of crap, and then you make the sale. And you go back with the recruit on the third interview, and you show him how to deliver the policy and how to review everything you've done for him, all the wonderful things. You're building relationships. Now, people that would take a new recruit and send them to a meeting first, and then make them go to some of these, pay $200 or $300, $400 to go to some of these professional trainers. That's the biggest screwing. That's as bad as screwing somebody with trash value life insurance. Now, I told you, Bill and Rundy, y'all are crazy to let me talk. I mean, I have to tell you like it is. And if you don't like it, what do you want me to do? You want me to tell you a bunch of crap that just makes you feel good, warm and fuzzy, all that kind of crap? Well, let me just tell you another number that's going to make you mad. But those 85 people that grew to an army of 225,000 people that changed the largest, most evil industry in the world, if you took an equivalent of 100,000 people y'all got today and you did the same growth, I know y'all are on a hot streak right now, and I hope you stay on a hot streak. But if you do the same growth, 100,000 would have to grow to 264 million people to do the same thing, 85. Now, I know some of you say, Art, now all you're talking about is A.O. Williams. You know, all you're talking about is bragging. I mean, Angela's jumping on my crap this morning at breakfast, you know. It's saying, Art, you know, you, yeah, man, yeah, all this kind of crap. Well, I don't know what else to say to your PE people. Y'all call me and ask me to do a conference call, and you ask me to say, talk about the foundation, what we did to build this foundation. And then I talk to you about it, and some of you get mad, and you get your pants all wet because I say something that upsets you. Well, I don't give a crap. I don't give a crap. Let me tell you this. I called a lot of bad plays in A.O. Williams. I used to tell my football team, there's 120 plays in a football game, a typical high school football game. There's only 4 or 5 plays that really work like they're supposed to and determine who wins the game. But the head coach has 25 seconds to call a play. You got to call a dadgum play. I called a bunch of plays at A.O. Williams that didn't work, but I kept getting up every day and going to work and calling a dadgum play. Ain't nobody perfect. Everybody's going to screw it. But if your heart's right, it comes out right. You people know on this telephone right now, I'm not calling to hurt you. I'm not telling you that Primerica's a pile of crap. I've told you I like Primerica better than I have since 1990. I didn't like Citigroup worth of crap. I didn't think Citigroup did a crapping good thing for this company. They almost destroyed the darn company. But I think it's rolling again. Now, I've met some people in Primerica that just blow me away. You're just like Larry Waddell and Andy Young and Bill Arenda, just the right kind of people. I love what I see. I'm going to see a bunch of them in Fort Lauderdale that are just great people, and the rest of them that ain't great people, I hope I run their ass off. And then, so that was A.O. Williams had a system. I mean, we could choose to run the wishbone, the ProSet, there's all kind of stuff, and maybe y'all got a better system today. But get out there and license 264 million people, and then come back and tell me y'all are better than us. So number three, training. Let's talk about training. Now, once you've got a system, once you've got a team with a common goal, was to kill trash value, then you've got a system. We're a warm market company. We don't talk to strangers. Then number three, you got to be able to train all these people that you get, right? Well, our training is always done in our stadium. We're football coaches again. This is football talk. We train people in our stadium on our field. Our stadium and our field is the kitchen table. We don't train people in op meetings and classes and professional trainers. We do some of that, except professional trainers, you know. But most of all, about 90-plus percent of all of things that happen in AOE have happened across the kitchen table. That was it. Hold on one second. Let me get his field training. Field training is everything. Number one, you show the person. You know, you learn best by showing. You've heard me talk to you about college degrees. The gay ain't worth a crap. 95% of the kids that get a college degree, like me, got in PE, they don't even use the degree they get, and the degree ain't worth nothing because professors don't know nothing because they ain't ever done nothing, you know. You learn by doing. You learn by watching somebody that's done it do it live, show you live, not going to Tom Hopkins and some of these, I ain't even going to say it, and listen to them give you a bunch of crap. There's a bunch of dadgum crap. I just can't understand it. We believe field training was everything. A new recruit gets to go with me, and I'm going to sell for you. I'm going to recruit for you. I'm going to show you how to do this business. I'm going to help build you a team, and all you got to do is call and set up the appointment. That's all you got to do is call and set up the appointment, and then I'm going to do everything else for you. Well, you know, once I go through and show him how to sell, how to recruit, all this kind of crap, you know, then number two, I'm building relationships. I spent at least three interviews with a client, and I'm building a relationship. That's my future prospect, I hope, to field train, to get his best friends, to keep me out of having to make cold calls and all that kind of crap. I'm building relationships with my new recruit. He rides with me to the appointment. He sits there and talks. And watch me talk for an hour and a half or 2 hours. And I ride back home with him. Well, that's 4 hours I spend with him right there. And then we do it on the second interview. And then do it on the third interview. And then I get him into the office to an op meeting, you know, after he's already seen some presentations and all that kind of crap. And then the fourth thing we're doing is we're making him money. One reason we got 50% of the people licensed is when I made a sale for a new recruit back then, we gave them 50% of the commission. Like if we had a $200 commission, let's say he made $100, I put that over aside, and when he got a license, he got that $100. I also was training him. Not only was I making sales for him, but I was building him a team. I was recruiting for him people. You know, we had this deal where the way I always explained it is we tried to recruit three. You recruit three, you know, and then we take him to his best friends and recruit three, and you just do that four times, just four times. Go through that four times. That's 27 recruits. Then if those people just make one sale, then you, hey, you new recruit, make $3,780 every month. How about that? Just recruiting three people, help those people recruit three, do that four times, and you make $3,780 each month. How about that? And I say part-time, what did I say? What did I say? You already forgot it, Andy? I say $42,000 in 1967, which was equivalent to, I mean, from 67, 69, 1969, was equivalent to $278,000. Now, that ain't like selling Amway, where you sell a toothbrush and make 13.5 cents, right? I mean, this is big-time stuff. Field training is where we take them to our field. We take them to our stadium. And we train them live. They're watching me do it live, not some hypothetical crap that these trainers put on a chalkboard up there. They're watching a stud show them how to sell. They're watching a stud show them how to recruit. They're watching a stud show them how to build a team. Folks, that's how we built A.L. Williams. That's how we went from 85 to 225,000 people, is building teams, growing by multiplication. You know, the ITT office where I started, they'd recruit about three people a year. Equitable ran a full-page ad that we used and just killed them. in the industry. They took a full-page ad in USA Today and said, we spend $200,000 training each agent, $200,000. Well, they don't spend that training. They got $200,000. They give them a little salary, and 80, 90% of them quit after 2 years. And they got to pay for the air conditioning and the carpet and the desk they sit on and the telephone and the secretary and all that kind of crap. So we cut out that full page. See, another key to A.O. Williams is you got to become a master motivator. Now, if you're around me, I'm going to motivate your butt. I'm going to put your butt on top of the dadgum light poles. So we look for little things like that ad. We cut out that full page ad, and we took it to all of our clients and said, look, They spend $200,000 training an agent, Equitable. Well, you know who's paying that $200,000? You are. They put that in your policy, right? What we try to do is take out everything and give you the cheapest thing that we can give you, the most insurance when you need it for the least money. So they can't spend $200,000 and us spend nothing and compete out there with us in our stadium. They can't do it. We eat their crap. Prudential spent $68 per policy advertising. A.L. Williams spent 4 cents. Well, the client pays that. You can't put $68 in that policy, and we put 4 cents in our policy and compete with us on our field, on our play. We took them to our field, our practice field, our stadium. Does that? And you know what? You know what? I spent 12 years trying to find who in the crowd spent that 4 cents advertising so I could fire them, because we didn't believe in spending nothing. Number five, build leaders. You've got to build leaders. Folks, if you're growing by multiplication, in ITT, they would recruit about 3 people a year. Well, if you recruit 3 people a year, full-timers, and you do it times 10, that's 30 people. Well, if you do it the A.O. Williams way, grow by multiplication, 3 people that recruit 3 people, if you do that times 10, that's 59,000 people. Well, when you get this A.O. Williams thing growing, you know, we didn't know this at first, but this multiplication thing really works. This crap really works, you know. If you take the time to recruit these good people, 90% of them should be 4 and 5 pointers, and you take them out there into our playing field, our stadium, field train them, then all of a sudden they get excited. They come in here, and their friends get excited. They're setting up all these appointments. I'm going out there. I ain't setting up no appointment. They set up appointments with me. They go with me. They act as a cheerleader, say, yeah, Art's great. A.O. Williams is great. I just bought this thing, blah, blah, blah. We create an environment. It's just unbelievable across that kitchen table. We're teaching them, but we're creating an environment to make future recruits and future sales and all that kind of crap. But the problem you run into is when this multiplication thing takes off, then you've got to have leaders to field train them. If you ain't got leaders to field train them, then your butt's up the creek. Does that make sense? So the best way to learn field training, listen to me, the best way to identify studs, to build leaders, and to build field trainers, again, is across the kitchen table. You know, I can just smell them. You can walk in there and you can see the quality of the house, the quality of the friends, how excited these people get. Then after they are either recruited or made a sale or something like that, then you bring them to meetings. They're always showing up. They're always enthusiastic. I mean, a stud sticks his head up. Then all of a sudden you jump all over him. You sell him the dream of becoming an RVP and all that crap, you know. And then you make him a field trainer. You better be building leaders when multiplication starts, or your butt's going to be up the creek, because you're going to have people that need to be field trained, and you ain't got nobody to field train them. And then so what you do is you bring them all to an office, thinking that, boy, if I just get these 100 people, 200 people out there in the office, and I'll train them all at one time. Well, you know, that don't work. That don't work. Number six, we build RVPs. We had one set of guidelines. Now, I don't know, you know, guidelines, I don't even want to talk to y'all about that, because I know y'all got maybe different ideas about this. But my theory is, in a system, you got to have one set of guidelines. And I don't know if the guidelines that the company has today is right. but I know there's a guideline out there that's right. And we had one set of guidelines that we thought were right, and we expected everybody to live up to the guidelines. I mean, I don't know any way to break a relationship more than if somebody, you go to a meeting and somebody hears that this guy was promoted on these guidelines, this guy was promoted on this guideline, this guy gave up this much replacement, this guy gave up that much replacement. There's got to be a oneness. I think to have this, for y'all to recruit these 264 million people, there's got to be a oneness. So, number six, you got to build RVPs. And build RVPs so they can build a company within a company with no limits. They have their own company. There's no junior RVP. I really don't like, I mean, I know there's some value in it in some cases. I don't like clustering. I don't like all this kind of stuff. I like an RVP. When he becomes an RVP, he's an RVP. In the early days in A.O. Williams, when you were promoted RVP, you had to come to my house and spend the night with me and Angela. And I was going to talk to you about the importance of what you just accomplished by becoming an RVP. We did that for years. Then we got bigger. We took them to Little River. Then we got big. We had a meeting about every 3 months in Dallas. And I just wanted to talk to them about the magnitude of this opportunity of building a company within a company, where you become an RVP with no limits. You can use all our money, all our support. There's no protected territory. You can go anywhere. You can build a legacy business. You go out there and build 7 to 10 first-generation RVPs, help them build 7 to 10, help them build 7 to 10. Then you have a monthly income of over $3 million, an annual income over $3 million. You're leaving your family when you die or you leave. Ain't that something? Ain't that dadgum something? The opportunity that an RVP has in Primerica today is almost as good as A.O. Williams, but it's good. Then once you become an RVP, we put a map on the wall up there. We put a map of the United States, and we look out there and say, good Lordy mercy. We weren't even our first insurance company, financial insurance, was only licensed in 13 states. We weren't even licensed in a bunch of states. But we'd look at California out there with all those millions of people and said, oh, my goodness, what a gold mine. Look at all those people that are being screwed by cash value, being screwed by Prudential every day. And so we just put a map up there, and we said, okay, you're an RVP. There's no protected territory. Sick 'em, sick 'em, sick 'em. And it's amazing what happens when people get this vision, get this thing in their head. I've got my own company within a company, and I want to build something big. I want to build something huge. And they start selling their people on that kind of thing, and they start looking at that map of the United States. And this guy said, well, I want to go over here, and I want to go over here, and I want to go over here. And before you know it, we filled up the United States. Then that's number seven. Number eight is you got to have the heart. Let me see how long I've been going. See, I'm almost going. You got to have a heart in the company. Now you can say, Art, I don't like the way you talk. You're crude. I know I am. I'm a coach. This is a locker room. If this bothers you, if I hurt your feelings a little bit, then don't let the door hit you in the butt. You know, we're looking for tough people. We're looking for people. I tell you what, you practice in football, you practice and you practice, you put them in the weight room, you do everything you can to make sure if they're going to quit, they're going to quit out there on the practice field or in the weight room. They ain't going to quit in the fourth quarter and cost you a football game, right? And so that was my idea in A.O. Williams, too. I talk like a coach. I talk like a coach. You've got to have a heart for this thing. You know, Coach Lombardi, I've told you this story. And, you know, but what, like Bill's book, Locker Room Notes, it's just one thing right after another. I mean, I just repeated myself for all those years in there, you know, and because I don't know but one way to do it. Hold on. You got to have a heart. You got to have a heart. Once you have a system, once you have this oneness, once you have this plan, you know, once you have this team, you got to have a heart. You got to have a heart for doing the right things. You got to have a heart for helping people. You don't screw people. And I think Mike Tuttle, I don't know how many people y'all has watched this thing, but he on Primerica TV, he did a deal that everybody ought to watch about every 3 months. But Mike, in my opinion, was the greatest A.O. Williams leader, and we had some great ones. But he was the greatest A.O. Williams leader in building relationships. He could just build relationships, and he taught his people how to build relationships that are unbelievable. Let me just tell you what I saw Mike do. Number one, he never sold on the first interview. In fact, he usually went to three or four interviews. I mean, he just refused to let that person buy a policy or make an investment, you know, until they just almost took it out of his dadgum hands, you know, because he never lost a sale. It is hard. Our competition would come back after we'd made a sale and say, you know, Art Williams is in jail. A.O. Williams has been outlawed in 98 states. The Better Business Bureau is taking this ad, look out, warning, don't do business with A.O. Williams, all this kind of crap. Mike Tuttle had people come back like that. He never lost a sale, not one single sale. So he never made a sale on the first interview. Mike Tuttle wrote a personal letter to every person that he had an interview with every time. If he had a four interview process with this client, he wrote this client a personal letter every time, just thanking him for his time and how impressed he was with him and his family and everything. He never invited to a prospect to an opportunity meeting first. It was always in our stadium across the kitchen table first. He always did the first visit across the kitchen table. He always invited people to an opportunity meeting after they were a client or after they had been shown the A.O. Williams opportunity across the kitchen table. And his team, he built a team for now. Mike Tuttle was with Campus Crusade for Christ. He and Stephanie lived off nothing. Their big thrill was to Friday night. They couldn't even afford a television. Their big thrill was to go rent a TV on Friday night and watch TV. Ain't that something? But Mike wanted to he wanted to be somebody. He wanted to be somebody with a passion. You know, that was one of the questions you asked. When you talk about these people want to be somebody, what does that mean? Well, you're just so eaten up with it, it just blows you. I'm telling you, you cut open Larry Waddell, Bill Larenda, Mike Tuttle, Andy Young, all these great people. They want to be somebody. They want to leave a legacy that's just my butt's always burning. My butt's always burning. It says, Archie, you always got to do more. Mike Tuttle built a team now, folks. This guy had no training except A.O. Williams training, the best kind. He never went to professional trainers and all this kind of crap. You know, he was trained to look for the good things in people. He was trained to do things right. Mike Tuttle built a team that beat 2,000 insurance companies out there. He beat over 99% of all the insurance companies in the industry. He produced tons of SNSDs, NSDs, RVPs that became financially independent. And he changed his family's financial future for generations. All right, Larry, that's it.
Okay, Art, thanks so very much. Let's see. Let's give Andy a shot at a question for you.
Hey, Andy.
Okay, unbelievable. Hey, Art. That's just unbelievable. You know, people ask me all the time, you came out of Wake Forest, you know, you had a couple job offers, and your first full-time deal you ever did, first full-time job out of college, you joined A.L. Williams. How'd you have the courage? I just want everybody listening on this phone, I mean, that what you just heard, the perfect message in the last 50, 45 minutes, whatever that is, that's why I basically dropped everything and said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow this guy. I mean, the crusade, everything in place. But, you know, you built a company, and so it wasn't a hard decision. I mean, I want to do something great with my life. Everything you just said, that's what I want to be. I feel like putting a daggum uniform on right now. The reality is you built everything all those years to finally get to A.L. Williams to where you could now have a platform to build RVPs. And I think the whole message of, you know, we're an RVP company. You can be an RVP. You can become financially independent. You can develop 7 to 10 key RVPs. Nobody ever put their thumb on you. everything that you sacrificed. I mean, the mortgage your house. You put everything in a heap and bet everything to get that in place. And I'm just so grateful for that. I mean, you may want to touch on that, but I mean, you nailed it. That's all I can say.
Well, I love you, Andy, and you were the perfect A.O. Williams leader. And what you've built, the legacy you've built, is just unbelievable. And Andy, it was just like at Wake Forest. I mean, you know, there was just something. You know, Bill Arunda, when we left Waddell & Reed, he was offered my job, $100,000 a year, a car. I left 650 people licensed in six states, and Bill Arunda didn't have a pot to pee in, but he wanted to be somebody. He picked up his family and moved to Dallas, Texas. He could have had a guaranteed $100,000 a year salary, all kind of benefits, already 650 people licensed. But he wanted to be part of this thing, Andy, just like you. I mean, he felt like we were on the verge of doing something important. And it was risky. There's no question that we were rolling the dice. We were maybe biting off more than we can chew. But we wanted a chance. We wanted a chance to do something big, to do something impossible. And if we fail, so what? We'll go try something else, you know? But I think you said it just right, Andy. That's what got me in this thing.
Hey, jump in, Bill.
Hey, Art. Thank you.
Hey, Bill.
I love your passion. Like Andy said, people want to be around people that feel like about things like you feel about. I go back to the book that you wrote that I copied. He said, my proudest moment in the industry, and you cited all these, when we did this, when we did that, and you finished up with, but our proudest moment was beating Prudential in 1984. Our talk about how you felt that in Boca Raton and what life was like back then when finally we got over that hump and you proved that we are the greatest company on the face of the earth and we defeated the monster of the industry.
Boy, you had to watch that Masters golf tournament yesterday. Garcia had been so close in a lot of major championships, you know, and he was two shots behind with about six holes to go, and he came back and won the Masters, one of the major tournaments, in a playoff. He had worked years. I don't know how old he is, but he's probably worked 20 or 30 years every day, 7 days a week. You know, Gary Player, one of my favorite stories, he won more international golf tournaments than anybody ever in history. And he said, you know, everywhere I go in all these different countries, everybody might talk a different language, but they say the same thing. You know, like our thing was, everybody wants to be somebody. He said, everybody says, I'd give anything if I get a golf ball like you. What does it take to hit? But and then he said one day he turned around and he said, no, you wouldn't. You'd give anything to hit a golf ball like me if it was easy. You know what you got to hit a golf. You know what you got to do to hit a golf ball like me. You got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You go down and you hit 1,000 golf balls. You hit so many golf balls till your hand starts bleeding. Then you walk up to the clubhouse. You wash that bandage off your hand, that blood off your hand. You put a bandage on it, and you go back down. You hit another 1,000 golf balls. Can you imagine the hours and the hours Garcia worked to try to win a big professional tournament? And the heartaches, he almost won 8 or 10, came in second or third or fifth. He almost did it, and then yesterday he won. And there were so many emotional moments. One time, right at the end, he got down on his knees and his hands on the 18th green and just beat the green with his hands. I mean, when you are like Andy Young, when you see this thing and you come and you have just a feeling in your heart. You have a feeling that this is important. We're doing something important. I want to be part of it. And then we go out there and we work and we get, you know, Mississippi kicks us out of the state. I mean, I could go over 100 stories and tell you the heartaches we had, the things that people did to us. But we keep working. You know, people quit. You know, blah, blah, blah. All this. We just fight and we fight and we fight. And then all of a sudden we win. And, man, we go to Boca Raton, and we're the national champs. We beat Prudential. I mean, you don't understand that moment until you are there. You just don't know. You don't understand how when you give your whole life, you work so hard, you fight so many through bad things. Most things you did didn't work out right, but you continued to fight and you continued to believe. And then all of a sudden, Clemson wins the national championship, beats Alabama last year. And they'll celebrate that not just at Boca Raton, but the rest of their life. I mean, you can say anything you want to about Art Williams, but he was a national champ. They ain't but one national champ. We beat them all, 2,000 companies. We did what people thought couldn't be done. You know the satisfaction, the joy, that goes with you for the rest of your life. Old Garcia winning that green jacket, he goes back every year to be able to put on his green jacket. Everybody looks at that and said, that's Garcia. He won the Masters last year. 40 years from now, he can be going. He's invited every year. He can go back and put that green jacket on. And everybody said, he was the best. He won. There's nothing like it. There's not a feeling like it when you just give your life to something. And you pour everything you got into it, and you work your butt off, and you overcome hardship after hardship after hardship, but you don't give up, and then you win. It's totally indescribable. Until you've done it, you can't explain it. Larry, you did it, so you can certainly explain it. You know, you can only do it if you've done it.
Unbelievable, Art, and I know the pride you have. Adam, are you still on?
Yeah.
You know, the pride you have as you pass this on to your generation, your kids, your grandkids. Like you said, you know, you had a bunch of your grandbabies down here recently, and seeing the new generation. And we see that in the company right now. We're so excited about it. But Adam was 5 years old. His brother was three. And when they rode in the big moving truck we had to go up to North Carolina and start that big adventure, He was my main helper in loading the truck, Art. We loaded up our little possession and moved up to North Carolina. And Adam, you have a question for – he's grown up in this, Art.
Yeah.
And Adam, do you have something you want to say to Art?
Well, I mean, obviously a huge thank you, Art. Thank you for getting on today. Thank you for doing what you did to give, you know, basically an entire – generation a chance to better their lives. You know, the number of lives you've touched by the vision you had, the passion you had, things like that. We can't thank you enough. Can't thank you enough for being on the call today. And there's just really no way to talk about and be appreciative enough for all the things you've done for all of us and all the hundreds of thousands of people. And all the lives you've touched with the vision and the dream that you had all those years ago. So we really appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts.
Well, thank you, Adam. I love you. I love your family. And, you know, we did something important. And y'all moving to Greensboro, again, rolling the dice. The chances our people took were just unbelievable. But that's the kind of thing you got to do. And we had a team. We had a bunch of us that believed, boy, and we fought together. And we created this environment where, man, it's us against the world out there. And what y'all did up in North Carolina was unbelievable.
Parting word, Art, do you want to give this generation, the people listening on the call, is a final word for them before we let you go? Appreciate so much you being on. Thanks so much, and good luck on Wednesday. But it's funny, you're going to be driving past that historic place in Boca,
yep,
where we finally beat Prudential. And now we got Primerica people, A.O. Williams people all over the state.
Yep.
Shows how we've expanded. But you have a parting shout out for everybody.
Well, I just think, Larry, like I said to Glenn Williams, in a fax that I sent him. I said, I like Primerica today better than I have since 1990. I mean, Citigroup, you can blame me for selling the company, but Citigroup came in and dropped an atomic bomb on this company, almost destroyed the darn thing. But this company's on a roll now, and the people I'm meeting today in Primerica are just like us. I mean, they're the right kind of people. I'm so pumped up about it. I can't stand it. I think Primerica's on a roll, and I think the future is just unbelievable.
Thanks so much, Art.
Thank you, Larry.
Can't thank you enough for getting on and talking to us. All right, everybody, let's go do something big. Go, go, go. See you later.